Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman. Thank you for watching us on Facebook, our Today's Issues Facebook page. We're live video streaming the program. And hope you had a great weekend. You know, the sun came up Saturday, and Alabama won. So some things never change.
And boy, they crushed somebody 59-0, didn't they?
Poor Vanderbilt.
Yeah, Vanderbilt. That's right. It was Vandy.
Poor Vanderbilt was the latest victim.
Vanderbilt was probably hoping the rapture would happen on Saturday. But we don't have to face Alabama.
I think we're headed for a Clemson-Alabama
rematch.
Repeat.
That's right. Yeah. Three.
What?
That would be the third year in a row, wouldn't it? Didn't they play them? They've each won one, didn't they? Didn't Alabama beat Clemson the year before last?
No, Alabama beat Clemson last year. No, excuse me. Pardon me. Clemson beat Alabama last year in the national championship game. I can't remember what happened 2 years ago, but it doesn't seem to me.
I think Alabama beat Clemson. I could be wrong.
I think y'all are wrong on that, but Walker can check that out because Walker checks stuff like that out for us here. That's why we pay him the big bucks.
That's
Isn't that right, Walker?
That's right. I'll check it out.
Okay, check it out. Who won the national championship? I think that was Ohio State, or maybe it was
Well, while we're waiting, I do want to make note of
Go ahead and take it from here, Ed.
The question of whether Adolf Hitler wore boxers or briefs has been settled because somebody in the U.S. spent 5,000 British pounds to buy a pair of Hitler's underwear that he had inadvertently left at a hotel in Austria less than a month before the Nazis took the country. This is back in 1938. And for 80 years, they've been cleaned, pressed in tissue paper in a box, and somebody had them and just sold them. So, and they are clearly briefs.
Thank you.
Yeah. So in case anybody was wondering that, you know.
Well, nobody was, but...
They're boxers. I'm sorry. I got that.
The boxers. Alabama Crimson Tide beat, this is last year, 2016, beat Clemson 45-40.
No, Clemson won last year, right?
Clemson won last year.
Yuck. This is the year before.
Yeah, what about the year before, Walker? That's where it wasn't Ohio State. Ohio State was 3 years ago. Who won the national championship the year before last year in the world of college football? There was Clemson last year, the year before that.
There are people yelling at their radio
right now.
I
want to. Who won the year before that?
This is, okay.
2015, 2016, 2017.
Yes, that's what I'm looking at right here. Alabama beat Clemson 45-40.
2 years ago.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then last year, Clemson beat Alabama.
January 11th of 2016.
You're right,
it was in
then.
Phoenix Stadium.
My apologies.
Your apology is humbly accepted.
Glendale, Arizona.
That doesn't seem right in my mind.
So it'd be like the rubber game. This is the third game. They've each won
well,
one.
Well, it hasn't happened yet, but it's inevitable. I would think that Clemson and Alabama would meet again this year. Mm-hmm. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano, Walker Wildman, and Steve Jordahl. Steve, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Got some sad news to report.
Man, I tell you, maybe this isn't as frequent as some of the other things we talk about, but over the weekend, a 25-year-old immigrant from Sudan, walked into a Nashville church, shot one person dead, and injured several others. So it was a tragic shooting. The Justice Department is looking into this as a hate crime, as a civil rights violation. It was a black man shooting up a white church. It doesn't make it any worse or better. It's just tragic.
What was the motive?
They don't know. They haven't yet said anything about or haven't published a motive yet. There is an interesting this guy whose name is Emmanuel Kadega Sampson. Tweeted out a message, or at least on one of his social media outlets, he said, "Everything you've ever doubted or made to believe as false is real and vice versa. comma, B, the letter B. I don't know if that's a nickname for him or who he's talking to. No one's quite sure what he meant by it. He is in custody. They will have a chance to figure that out, I'm sure, and talk about a motive. But
I wouldn't be surprised if this turned into a domestic terrorism incident. You know, I don't know. The whole civil rights thing is really muddy water.
I don't believe in all that.
Because, you know, just because...
You mean adding a penalty?
I'll clear it up for you. I don't believe in all that, but yeah, that's just me.
Just because one has a different skin color and commits a crime, I don't know that immediately enters it into the civil rights realm. If they're spewing, you know, racist... they're spewing a racist ideology, and then they commit an act, you know, then it's clear. But
it certainly is something that in this day and age is one of the first things that people will look at. Mm-hmm. It's just a black guy walking into a white, mostly white church and shooting. And as far as we know, we don't know if any.
That's what happened with Dylan.
South
Carolina. The white, was he a teenager? Or
he was a teenager at the time. Dylan Roof. 19.
He went into, he was a.
He was a white
racist.
He was a white supremacist, white racist kid, and he wanted to. That was a particularly chilling episode as he walked in on a Bible study at a black church, sat down with the people for several minutes. Yeah.
Who treated him
and
kindly.
They were so gracious to them. And I don't know if you've ever been to an African American church, but they generally, that is not exceptional for them. That is exactly the way that most churches
very
are.
Very hospitable.
Very hospitable. And then he pulls a gun and...
Steve?
What's that?
So you're inferring that white people are rude at church?
I've been to some churches, let me tell you, where if I sat in the wrong pew, someone else's seat.
Well, now, Dylan Roof, if I remember right, I think he actually said, I even started to... possibly rethink what I planned to do because they were so nice.
Yeah. Unfortunately, he didn't rethink it long enough. That was the episode that really brought the Confederate flag back into the national conscience.
Here's my point. You're saying that yesterday you had a black man go into a white church and kill one and injure several eight, others. It was a small church. Injured. We don't know the motive yet, which
we
is
don't.
Strange. I don't know why we don't know a motive yet. It seemed like that would have come out pretty quick. Mm-hmm. This is really a side issue. But did you say that would be the U.S. Justice Department would have to open up a civil rights is that what they call it?
Right.
Yes, that's right.
Civil rights investigation. What I'm saying, my point is, I don't agree with all that. Charge him with murder and attempted murder.
Right.
And let that be it.
Kind of like hate crime laws.
We don't need mind readers.
Right, a crime's a crime.
And we don't need making punishment more.
Well, let me throw
because somebody is thinking a certain way. I just don't.
Let me throw two things into the mix. It needs to be reported that one of the ushers actually confronted the guy and was treated for head injuries. So I don't know how his outlook is.
22-year-old young man.
22-year-old Robert Caleb Engel was a hero in this, in confronting the guy. The gunman shot himself. The police do not think that was intentional. So I'm assuming from this that there was a struggle with the gun, and both were shot in this. And then the other thing that I think we might want to talk about, although it does delve into the hate crimes of the political, but this was an immigrant from the Sudan. Now, the Sudan is one of the countries on Mr. Trump's no-fly list. Mm-hmm. And so it's worth a discussion, perhaps, if that would have solved this, had what the vetting was like for this person coming into the country, and then are we going to hold the politicians now responsible to say, now that we've had a shooting that could have been prevented by the travel ban, are you going to support the travel ban, Ms. Pelosi?
Right.
Now, I did read last night, again, I read one place, can't even name the source, that this fellow was 5 years old when he came here.
Yeah, he came in 1996.
He's 25 now. He came when he was 5 years old. So he's, in essence, been here the life he can remember.
And as far as we know, all of the immigration was legal, so he would not be a dreamer. It's not that.
He's a legal U.S. resident, but not necessarily a citizen.
Is he a Muslim?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't know. I haven't seen anything that says that
he hasn't changed his name to a Muslim name at this point. Anyway,
to clear up some confusion, going back to who won the National Football Championship, there's a reason there was confusion, because Clemson and Alabama have played each other in the National Championship game 2 years in a row. So in 2016, Clemson beat Alabama. No, Alabama beat Clemson 45-40.
And that was a hate crime. Because I watched that game, and that was a complete beatdown.
That was
Tiger beating the elephant.
Hence our talk about it would be a rubber match or the third in a row.
And then last year, 2017, Alabama and Clemson also played each other in the national championship.
And an awesome game.
And Clemson beat Alabama.
Yeah. So they're settled right there. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We will await today. Maybe we'll hear the motive.
I'll keep an eye on that. Okay. It's something we can talk about this week.
Why this fellow went in and shot up people at the church. Was that outside of Nashville?
It was just outside of Nashville. They're calling it a Nashville church.
At a small church
Very
of Christ.
Very small church. The name of the church was Burnett Chapel Church of Christ.
Yeah, the hate crime thing, just real quickly. Let me. The best way I can say this is, if somebody robs and kills my grandma, My two grandmothers are deceased. I'm just using this as a hypothetical, okay? I want them charged to the fullest extent of the law. If you take a situation and you say, well, somebody else's grandma was killed, but we're gonna say that the motive was a racial animus or hatred, we're going to pile on 10 or 15 more years to that crime, okay? Then you're making more valuable the life, you're making less valuable the life of my grandma. You see what I'm saying here? Because you've tacked on years for an idea that you may be able or may not be able to prove. I'm just saying, I think most people say a crime is a crime is a crime. Let's apply.
Well, let me just add a little bit of historical context. I think that some of these, not the hate crimes, that's kind of been over the last 20 years, but in terms of the civil rights violations, I think those came about in the aftermath of the civil rights movement as a way to get around crooked, what they perceived to be maybe crooked sheriffs or something like that in Southern towns who are going to ignore a crime against a black person.
Okay.
And so they added these civil rights violations as federal civil rights violations so that if someone does not get justice because of the crooked sheriff,
Then the feds can come in. Otherwise,
it would be just a strictly a Tennessee crime. And
right.
The feds
have no authority.
I can understand that.
Yeah.
The other thing is that we might want to clarify that someone mentioned domestic terrorism. You need to be labeling some crimes as terrorism or such so that you can have an idea what to defend yourself against. In the case of terrorism, if you just called a terrorism crime just a regular crime, someone flew two jets into the Twin Towers and killed 3,000 people, one of the worst mass murders in the world, end of story, then you don't really have a way to track an Al-Qaeda or an ISIS, and that stuff just kind of gets disconnected from the crime. Mm-hmm. I just wouldn't want people to confuse hate crimes with terrorism and the way we fight terrorism.
Well, that's a valid point in terms of checking trends and
right.
Because if the Twin Towers was just considered a murder or just some regular crime, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And let's just be also maybe upfront in that we're hearing that there is a rise in white supremacy in this country. That's something I'd like to check out to see if it's...
How do you measure that?
Well, you have to look at the motive behind the crime. If it's racially motivated, if it's someone that's from an organization like the KKK, in that case, if there is a rise in white supremacy in this country and it's contributing to crimes, then you need to start investigating that to dig back into where are these white supremacist groups and how do you root them out and expose them and arrest them?
Is there evidence of that?
Well, that's what I'm worried. There is a lot of speculation, and a lot of it from our black brothers and sisters, that there is a rise in white.
What do
white
you do
nation.
With black-on-black crime? How do you score that one? Like in Chicago.
A lot of that's gang violence. Sometimes they ascribe that to
gang.
But, I
mean, is that racist? Racial?
No, it's a whole third category, which by law enforcement would be, in many cases, gang violence. In that case, they'd want to track the gangs and where they are and who's a member and who's associating with them.
I don't think well, first off, the FBI's really backed out of the business of giving statistics on tracking groups and their ideologies and whether they're growing or not.
They still do a hate crimes report every year.
Well, that's on crimes, committed crimes that were filed and that were charged. They don't get into the hypotheticals of this group has this many members.
They leave that to the Southern Poverty Law Center. Thank you
right.
very much.
Right.
Well, maybe not adding penalties to it. I don't have a problem with categorizing things to keep track of trends, but maybe not adding an additional penalty.
Right. No, that's what I'm saying. I agree with you that there needs to be some ability for the federal government to oversee, you know, if there are injustices done, they should, on a state level or on a local level, they should be able to be reviewed by people that are more objective maybe than the law. But I just think, you know, the white supremacist rise is a bunch of garbage.
You don't believe it's real?
No, I don't believe it's real. Huh? I'm just telling you, I don't believe it's real. And I think it's tiny, just a fraction of a population of 300 plus million people. And if they do have any meetings, they don't have any influence. I'm talking about the KKK types with business or politicians. They don't, they may have a little bitty rally here and there, but there's no big organized influence.
The most attention they get is when groups like the SPLC, CITM, or CBS and these major news organizations give them 30 minutes.
Like Charlottesville. Nobody would have even known about it if there had not been a huge confrontation.
Right. When the Antifa and the Black Lives Matter groups came looking for a fight with these people, with the people who were there to support the statue. Some of them were KKK types or neo-Nazis or white supremacists. I don't know. But would they have 100, 200, 300
people?
Well,
and the thing is, the left wants,
you know what I'm saying?
The left wants a race war. They want to stoke the fires of racism, and that's why I'm wary to say that America's a racist country and do broad statements like that because I'm not
America's,
show me facts, show me statistics.
Right.
Show me a poll, a nonpartisan poll, where 50% of America says, yeah, I'm racist. I might say, maybe so. But all this stuff is subjective.
Right.
It's all subjective.
And I think, It's a narrative that is promoted by the left in this country that they're always looking for to create racial strife and to present white America as always the oppressors of, you know what I'm saying? It helps their ratings. If yesterday you would have had a white man go into a church, this story would be a one-day story if it's that as it is now. But if you had a white fella go into a black church in Nashville and killed one and injured seven, it would be a story for a week. See what I'm saying?
I recall the New Life shooting in Colorado was a white guy coming in and shot two young girls of a family. That was a story for quite a long time.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I'm just saying that I'm not denying that racism doesn't exist in America. Racism exists probably since the dawn of man.
Right.
And it works all the way around. White, some white people are racist. Some black people are racist. Some, all kinds of ethnicities have racial. Do all the Greeks love all the Italians, or is there some racism there?
How would I know that?
Well, because I just.
No, I know.
I'm using this.
Listen, Greeks hated the Turks. I mentioned this on the program before. If my dad was Italian, my mom was Greek, if they were in an argument and my dad wanted to jabber, he'd call her a Turk, which is the biggest insult, because the Turks had conquered Greece and the Balkans and controlled it for 400 years, committed countless atrocities there. And so those kind of animosities exist. Hey, the Samaritans and the Jews hated each other.
They've always existed, and they always will exist. Now, should we always be, especially in the Christian community, working on race relations and loving one another and treating either other with respect and advancing civil rights and justice and those kinds of things? Absolutely, we should keep on striving to be the best.
Because that pleases God.
Absolutely.
Right? To make those
love
kind of
one another.
Yeah.
And treat other people as you would have them treat you. Those are basic principles that apply across races, and we Christians know this.
Right.
The Promise Keepers movement, they spent a lot of time on racial reconciliation. And that was led by the Christian community right there, over the evangelical Christian community in particular, did a wonderful job for 10 years on that, stressing that. So this is, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was a Baptist minister.
Right.
For goodness sakes. What motivated Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was his Christian faith to address these issues, appealing to white Christian America. Mm. Hey, the way we're being treated, you're treating your brothers and sisters, is wrong. It's immoral. It needs to be changed. White Christian America, listen to what we're saying. Mm-hmm. That's what he was saying. And it worked.
Yeah.
The white Christian America majority said, you know what? Not everybody, but they came to the conclusion that, you know what? Dr. King's right.
Yeah.
We need to change this.
Yeah.
Because the African-American community represented, 10% of the population at the most? They couldn't have brought about change by themselves.
Right.
They didn't have the numbers. They had to have white America agree with the message of Dr. King and others, who was basing his movement on what the Bible says about how we should treat one another and love another.
Amen.
All right, so we've got about 1 minute. You got a snowflake?
I do have a snowflake story. This is from our snowflake file.
Hey, 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 snowflake.
Snowflake.
My pretty little snowflake. Snowflake.
You might have read that last weekend, was the free speech weekend at University of California, Berkeley, or not, because they canceled it, but Milo Yiannopoulos showed up, but not many people showed up to protest, but then a lot did, and there's accusations of people being kept out of the protest area to make the numbers look bad. What I wanted to focus on was the University of Berkeley is a little bit complaining that the cost of the free speech weekend was $800,000, they say, they spent on police protection and barricades and safe spaces and such, and counseling for the oppressed Berkeley community because of the conservative speech. What's interesting is that a lot of people are laying this at the conservative speaker's feet. Milo, for example, cost the university, they say, $800,000. In my view, really, weren't worried that Milo was going to come out swinging and start beating people up.
Right.
It's the Antifa and people that were going to show up that cost the university
$800,000. Yeah, send the bill to Antifa. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that caused the need for increased security.
Mm. That's right.
All right, thank you, Steve Jordahl.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Ed.
You're welcome, sir.
Walker.
And welcome back. We missed you.
Hey, it's good to be welcomed back. Thank you, Ed, for that. And
I'll be selling some of Hitler's underwear. No, I'm just kidding. I just think that's funny. Wow.
If you didn't hear 20 minutes ago, you have no idea what Ed's talking about.
Yes.
So you'd have to go back and listen. Thanks for listening to the program, everybody. We appreciate it. You keep listening to AFR, and we shall see you back here tomorrow. Take care.